This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Avoiding your unfinished home projects because you're not sure where to start? Thumbtack knows homes, so you don't have to. Don't know the difference between matte paint finish and satin? Or what that clunking sound from your dryer is? With Thumbtack, you don't have to be a home pro. You just have to hire one. You can hire top-rated pros, see price estimates, and read reviews, all on the app. Download today.
Every morning brings a fresh new energy.
This is Today with
Sophie. And no matter what the day holds, we come to the Today Show for all of it.
When things are tough, we talk about it. When there's something to figure out, we dig into it. And when there's joy, we celebrate it.
Because today is where it's all happening. We get the best start to every morning. Because we start it together.
Watch the Today Show with Savannah Guthrie and Craig Melvin weekdays at 7 a.m. on NBC.
Welcome back to Hawk and Crowder. It's the 3 o'clock hour. Josh Appel in for the guys until 4 o'clock. Happy to be joined now by our good friend, George Richards of Florida Hockey Now. He joined us on the Toyota of Hollywood Hotline. Shop over 2,000 Toyotas on sale at one location, Toyota of Hollywood on 441. Between Hollywood and Sheridan, toyotaofhollywood.com. George, how are you?
Josh, what's up, buddy?
Oh, I'm just doing? Still riding the wave of last night. I have so many things to ask you.
The heat wave? Be,
yeah, that one. That 55-point loss last night. Yeah, let's talk. Yeah. We're gonna do 15 minutes on the Heat, because that's the game you covered last night, right?
15 minutes of Panthers, sure.
Right.
Of cat.
Florida basketball now? Are you starting that?
Florida Heat. Florida Heat now. Yeah.
Still workshopping the idea.
Yeah, it's certainly a work in progress. Everything's good, though, your way.
Yeah. Can't complain, especially after last night. So let's get into it. Let's start with the discipline, or lack thereof. That could or could not be coming. Let's start with Nico Mikkola. Comes out today. He gets fined. Are you surprised that he wasn't suspended?
Not surprised that he wasn't suspended. No, because I figured once they tossed him from last night's game, he missed the entire, pretty much the third period. The boarding call came 19 seconds into the third. So when he got that game misconduct, that cost him the entire third. So I figured, I'm sure the NHL took that into consideration. That's just. So he'll be able to play tomorrow in Tampa.
One player who will not be able to play tomorrow is Brandon Hagel because of the, I don't know if you would call it a hit, a forearm to the face or to the neck area or the jaw, however you want to look at it. John Cooper, obviously not very happy with the hit. He expressed that displeasure on the bench last night and then in a way expressed his displeasure again in announcing that Hagel would not play tomorrow. Aaron Ekblad has a hearing later today. I don't know if it's happened or not. Do you have any update? And what do you think is going to happen with that?
I don't know. I mean, it may have already happened. It's a phone hearing, so I'm sure it's going to be pretty quick. He's going to be able to state his case or has stated his case. I think he's getting a game. I mean, and there's no coincidence that the Tampa Bay Lightning, who don't give out any injury updates, regular season or during the playoffs, just all of a sudden volunteer that Hagel will not play tomorrow. That was for the audience of the Department of Player Safety. So they know that Hagel is out, which means they want, an eye for an eye kind of situation. If Hagel's out, Ekblad should be out, is their thinking. So they're hoping to sway that committee.
And honestly, I can't blame them because if I'm looking at it as objectively as possible, that should be a game for Ekblad.
Yeah, listen, they were upset about the Matthew Tkachuk hit on Jake Guentzel in game 3. And that was nothing like the Hagel hit on Barkov in game two. But in this case, yeah, no. I think you're right. Ekblad, listen, and the officials didn't see it on the ice. And you could see John Cooper, you know, dropping the F-bombs and counting down one, two, you know, pointing out each single official. Four of you missed this, as he screams, you know. Yeah, they did. They missed it on the ice. They did not miss the Nico Mikkola hit, and Nico got tossed. Aaron Ekblad did not. He's able to score the game-tying goal. If you're the Florida Panthers, you probably take that.
I would say so. Do the Panthers have this Lightning team rattled right now? And I ask that because Cooper, I don't feel like he's ever really that emotional. Like, there was a lot of emotion on that bench last night.
Yeah.
He seemed kind of ticked off in his press conferences. This is a team that, as we know, has an incredible Stanley Cup pedigree. They seem a bit rattled. Do you get that same read?
Yeah, I do. I think we saw it a little bit after game one, where I think that Coop kind of realized that they don't have much of an answer other than Andre Vasilevsky against the Panthers. Florida has completely neutralized Tampa Bay's top two forward lines. They've shut down their power play. All they've got right now is Vasilevsky keeping them in games. And yesterday I had to do the Tampa Bay side for NHL.com. We stood there waiting to get into the locker room area for 10 minutes and we're like, okay, so maybe there's a team meeting. Out comes Cooper. So Cooper was in that room for 10 minutes. I mean, it's hard to overcome a loss like that. I mean, they had an opportunity to come home with two wins in Sunrise, coming home even at 2-2, and they gave up two goals in 11 seconds, and that was it.
George Richards, Florida Hockey Now, joining us here on Hawk and Crowder. George, it kind of reminded me of the 22 sweep that the Lightning had over the Panthers.
Yeah.
In that Uyghur play with 10 seconds left in game two, I think it was, where they were destined for overtime and Uyghur makes the mistake and the Lightning capitalize and they score. And even though it was only 2-0 at that time, it kind of felt like that was the series. Last night felt like that for Tampa Bay.
Yeah, it kind of did, because again, it was just an opportunity that's lost late in a series, late in a game that you don't have the real estate to make it up. I mean, there's a couple games left in this series, but like Victor Hedman said, they've got to win the final three. I mean, Tampa Bay cannot lose again, and Florida's loose, feeling good about themselves. They've got Sergei Bobrovsky in net, so they're playing good defensive hockey, and they've got Bob back there, so they feel good about themselves. And listen, Florida's not getting a lot of offensive chances. Tampa Bay's playing a very good defensive game. Vasilevsky's fantastic. But the Panthers were able to get to the loose pucks and make their own breaks last night. And that's the difference right now. And they're up 3-1. And really, all the pressure is on Tampa Bay right now, even though, you know, you could say they've got nothing to lose. It's been a minute since the Tampa Bay Lightning have won a playoff series. There's starting to be a little bit of pressure there.
George, you mentioned how the Panthers have been able to shut down that top line of Tampa Bay, and some might look at the offensive production in this series from Alexander Barkov and Sam Reinhart, but I mean, the Panthers certainly will take this trade-off considering the depth advantage they have. I mean, the third line, right. Lundell, right. Lustarainen, and Marchand were phenomenal last night. But could you just shed a little light on how Alexander Barkov and Reinhart, that duo, obviously along with the defensive pairings, but how those two are able to neutralize Kucherov and Point the way they have?
Yeah, they're smothering them. And Florida is definitely... And this has been, you know, everybody that, you know, the last month of the season that was complaining about the Panthers, this is how the Panthers were playing, right? They were trading offense for defense to get ready for this moment. And this is why they're playing exactly like they were when they had that 5-game losing streak. They were playing terrific. They were bottling everybody up. They're bottling up the Lightning, especially Kucherov. I mean, he's making plays. Kucherov is a guy you just want to contain. He's making plays. He's getting points. But every time he gets the puck, there's two Panther guys dropping down his way. Every time he releases the puck, he gets hit. I mean, they're making him uncomfortable, and he's just not able to do what he wants to do. And again, we said it at the beginning of the series, we did not think that Tampa Bay had a match for Florida's third or fourth lines, and so far they have not.
And that's, I think, probably the most frustrating part for Tampa, is that last night, again, they got depth scoring from Chernak and Chafee, and they didn't win. And that's got to be incredibly frustrating for them. I was talking in the first segment about how last night, to me, was probably one of the top five loudest I've ever heard that arena. And I'm curious, as someone who has been there almost every home game for the Panthers for who knows how long, except for the 1 year you were out in Columbus, or 2 years, however long it was. We don't speak about it. It's okay.
Sure.
Where do you have last night? Because obviously game seven of the cup last year, Tkachuk scoring in the Eastern Conference final to advance to the cup 2 years ago, game six against the Bruins, Marcel Gotch back in 2012. Like, those are the only moments that I can really think that compared to last night. And I'm glad you got a chuckle out of the Marcel Gotch reference.
That was a good one.
Before this era of Panther hockey, that was like the moment of the last decade, and they lost that game.
I hadn't thought of that one in a while. Last night was right up there. I mean, the place exploded, and you heard it mainly because they had been just sitting there waiting, right? Ekblad scores that power play goal, the place erupts, and then they have to, offside, okay. And then you're waiting another 7-8 minutes, and then he ties it up, and you're like, yeah, that one's good, and the place just goes ape. And then before everybody can settle down, Seth Jones gets one in 11 seconds later, and it just, you know, now it's party time. The place was hopping. You know, this market has just come so far. It's a Monday night. The Heat were playing. Forget what the score was, but the Heat were still playing a first round game, and both arenas were packed. And you know, if this had happened, you know, 10 years ago, you know, there would have been 3,000, 4,000 empty seats for the Panther game, and there weren't any. It was packed, and the place was hopping, and you know, it was a good time in Sunrise, no doubt.
Yeah, it was one of the coolest live moments I've experienced there in that arena, with those other ones that we just mentioned. This might be an obvious question, but you brought up Seth Jones. I can't think of really a game where he's played all that poorly, really, since the Panthers acquired him. I would imagine that the organization has to be absolutely thrilled with what they've gotten out of him since they acquired him.
They could not believe that, you know, that they were able to pull that deal off. You've got Chicago eating $12 million of his salary, so you've got him at a very reasonable $7 million per year for what, the next 5 years. What a strong swing and hit for Florida to get a guy like Seth Jones. He's been really, really good. Now, does he make some mistakes? Yeah. You know, offensive defensemen do. They happen. And I think a lot of people love harping on those little moments, but it's the moments you don't see. And Seth Jones has those moments all the time, the passes that he makes. Last night I was watching him handle the puck as he was pursued by two different players, and he reverses course and goes right back around them. He is an outstanding hockey player. He is a terrific defenseman, and just an absolute steal for the Panthers. You gave up Spencer Knight, and that's fine. I mean, Spencer Knight needs to be a starter, and right now he wasn't going to be the starter here, and Florida doesn't need to be paying their backup $4.5 million with Bob looking the way Bob looks. And, you know, so it worked out for both sides. Chicago got what it wanted out of the deal. Florida got what it wanted out of the deal. And Seth Jones is, you know, he's only going to get better as he gets through this system. I mean, this is a whole new way of defensive hockey, this system that Florida employs. So, you know, when he goes through training, you know, gets through these playoffs and goes through training, I mean, he's only going to get better.
Last one for you here, maybe one more, we'll see. Everybody expected, myself included, that when the Panthers acquired Brad Marchand, that he would play on a line once everybody was healthy with Sam Bennett and Matthew Tkachuk. But he has on that third line been such a great fit with Anton Lundell and Etu Lostarainen? What makes that trio of guys work so well together? And I wonder, is it that Lundell and Lostarainen are just so good with anybody that they're put on a line with? Because, you know, I think back to a couple of years ago, Sam Reinhart gets put with them, right, and they click. Evan Rodriguez last year was really good when he played with them. It seems like those two, whoever they put as that other winger, they excel. And this fit with Brad Marchand's been great.
Yeah, we did get to see that rat line for a minute, right? The other day, they did put those three together. Listen, when we talked to Brad Marchand at the very beginning, when he first got here, he mentioned a couple players, and it wasn't Matthew Tkachuk, it wasn't Sam Bennett. He mentioned Nico McCullough, and he mentioned Anton Lundell. He said that he thought, you know, playing in Boston, he thought that Anton Lundell was 28, 29 years old. And he goes, and then I get here and I'm like, oh my gosh, this guy's 22. He couldn't believe how young Anton, and we forget, you know, he's got as many playoff games as, you know, half the league right now.
Six games in the playoff already.
Yeah, he's a kid, you know, but he's so good. And the way they played on that one, that first goal for Florida, where Marchand races into the corner to beat the icing, gets the puck out. Lostarainen digs it back out, gets it to Marchand. Marchand feeds a wide open Lundell, who roofs it. Just a beautiful play. And we talked to Lostarainen today about it, and he's like, yeah, it's just great playing with those guys. And again, you nailed it. I mean, whenever somebody's hurt, you can always put anybody with that group. It's kind of like the Barkov line. Anybody plays well with Barkov. I think anybody plays well with Lostarainen and Lundell just because of their style. They play the game honest. They play a 200-foot game. They turn defense into offense and offense, and, you know, they just do everything right. And, you know, it's just another example of the depth of the Panthers when you've got guys like that. Those aren't the guys people think of, right? When you talk about, about Barkov, Ekblad, Tkachuk, Reinhart. You don't think about those other guys, and they are so good and so important, and they're the reason why the Panthers are where they're at.
Last one for you. I lied by saying the previous question was the last one. I promise this is the last one. And thank you, George, for your time as always.
Of course.
What type of game do you expect tomorrow from Tampa? Are they going to be out there trying to throw hits and get some retaliation, or are they going to be trying to extend this series a little bit at home? Because I could honestly see both. And what type of game do you see playing out?
I think, you know, listen, that's a veteran team. They're trying to win game five. They're trying to force a game six back here in Sunrise. They want to keep their season going. They know it's not impossible. I mean, they almost pulled off two wins in Sunrise. And John Cooper said, listen, but when they were down 0-2, he goes, we're going to a building that we've had success in the past. So they're not scared to come. But they want to keep things going. Now, could things get a little loose? Could things get a little crazy if it's 4-1 in the third? Yeah, maybe. But I think Tampa Bay is going to come out trying to win that game and not put themselves in a bad spot, not give the Florida Panthers an opportunity on the power play to get going again. And, you know, we'll just see how it goes. But Tampa Bay is not out of this. This is not over. But Florida, again, being able to come back last night, You get to, like Sam Reinhart said today, you get, you know, you sleep a little better after that one, because, you know, 3-1's much different than 2-2.
Awesome. Well, the Panthers will continue only hitting players who have the puck tomorrow night and the rest of the postseason. George Richards, Florida Hockey Now, thanks so much, as always, for your time. You're great. And if I needed somebody to fight one gorilla, I would choose 100 George Richards's.
All right. Thanks, Hawk.
Bye, George.
Thanks, bud.
Back with more on Hawk and Crowder after this.